dum 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 dum
dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum dum
dum dum dum to our second episode in March. I am here with my March guest host, Robert Bell, Robbie Buckets, Big Shot Bob.
Oh, that's right. Pleasure to be here, yeah. Dan, and I am excited for today. Yeah, glad to be back.
That's right. We're learning about peace that's proving you care more about each other than winning an argument. Wow. Guys, if this is your first time joining us, this is a podcast for kids and parents to help bring discussion from Sunday throughout the rest of the week, and we're so excited. Robert, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well today, Dan. Yeah. It's nice outside, and you know, it's been a good day. What about you? It's been good?
Not too shabby, man. Not too shabby. You know, did some exercising this morning, you know?
Ooh.
And
what kind of exercise?
Decent sleep. I did a core workout. I'm a big core guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, some planks. All that fun stuff.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
But
looking shredded.
You know,
I can tell. Yeah, we can all tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, definitely. For sure. And so, yeah, you know, feeling pretty good today. But we start off the podcast by asking one question. What is making you happy right now, Robert?
Wow. One thing that is making me happy right now, Dan, and this is something that we've started throughout the whole entire year, every night on Tuesday, we call it family dinner, and that's with all of our friends.
Nice.
So we go to a friend's house, and there's eight of us, and we all get to just come together, no matter how crazy the week's been or the weekend, you can always count on having a meal together, and it just makes me happy. I'm looking forward to that, and it's just great.
That's great
spending time together. But what's making you happy right now?
Oh, one thing. Robert, this may be my favorite time of year. Can I tell you why?
Is it? Because it's March Madness.
It's because it's March Madness.
It's March Madness, baby.
It's March Madness. So I will be taking, well, by the time this is out, I will have taken the day off work.
Of course.
I will have consumed so many chicken wings.
Oh, yes.
So many chicken wings. And yeah, it's just the greatest day.
Boneless or bone-in?
Oh, I'm a traditional man. However, B-dubs on a Thursday is buy one, get one. So.
Mm.
I have to weigh the cost, you know?
Sure.
Maybe I get B-dubs, buy one, get one. And then the evening games, I get Wingstop, bone in. So there we go. We'll see. We'll see.
Double down.
You know, planning in advance. But I will have spent all day watching basketball, which is a dream. It's a dream. I will, from noon till 1 in the morning, there will be basketball on. Slight break at 5 for the evening news. In which I will either be getting more wings or will be recovering from eating and watching so much basketball earlier in the day. This is a tradition in my home. This is like I once in middle school, I baked a chocolate cake for my teacher in order to convince her to put the TV on the March Madness games.
Did it work?
During class. It did.
Oh, kids, try this.
I said, what would it take for us to get these March Madness games on? She said, I like chocolate cake. So I made a chocolate cake as a, I don't know, 15, 16-year-old.
Oh, you were the class favorite.
I mean, I got to. Well, and I was like, look, if that's what it takes to get basketball games on this TV in the middle of a school day, I'm doing it.
Beautiful.
So, guys, excuse me. That's what's making us happy right now. Why don't you pause the podcast and talk about what is making you happy right now? All right. It's time for the ketchup, Robert.
Not the mustard. The ketchup.
No. Definitely the mustard. We're a mustard-based condiment podcast.
So if you had 55 burgers or 55 hot dogs?
55 fries. I would take 55 mustards. Give me 55 mustards with 55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 tacos, 55 pizzas.
Wow.
55 milkshakes.
I'm taking the ketchup.
Give me mustards.
I'm glad to be here. But that's not the ketchup we're talking about.
Not on this podcast. You're not taking the ketchup. Okay. This is the catch-up where we're running after what we've learned about so far the last couple of weeks. In week 3, learning about peace, we learned you can help others make peace. And what verse did we teach out of, Robert?
That's right. This was a big one and a great story, but this comes from 1 Samuel chapter 25, and it's verses 1 through 35. Oof. So
long, long portion. If you guys want to read that, if you're at home listening, you want to read it, go ahead and read it. It's a crazy story, but we're going to recap it.
We're going to recap it.
So King David of, you know, taking down Goliath fame, mm-hmm. shepherd, wrestling bears, you know, and lions, you know, saving sheep, being anointed by mm-hmm. Samuel, all of those things. He had conflict with a man named Nabal. Okay, now Nabal was kind of being disrespectful to David. And how do kings generally take disrespect? Good?
Not well, Dan.
In my experience, not very well at all.
No.
And so they kept going back and forth, and David was getting heated, and he at one point gathers 400 of his men and says, "Draw your swords," and they go. Well, there's one person in this story who decided to take things into her own hands, and that would be Nabal's wife, Abigail. And so Abigail, on Nabal's behalf, makes peace with David and saves a bunch of conflict mm-hmm. and a bunch of hurt and a bunch of tension and a bunch of anger from these two men. And because Abigail decided that that peace was a better solution, right?
That's right.
And so, guys, peace is always a better solution. And Abigail decided that she was going to help David and Nabal make peace because she said, "This is so silly. While you guys are fighting, you don't need to be doing that. Peace is a better option." And so she had courage. That was
pretty cool. She did.
Right? So I'm going to tell you a little story that I learned about wolves.
Ooh.
Okay?
Okay. Let's hear it.
I love animals. I like learning about things. And so I had this experience at the zoo with a wolf. He came and he stared at me. Like, there's more to the story, but he came out of his den one day at the zoo. I was at the zoo for a school class. And he stared at me for like a minute and a half. Just like we locked eyes for like a minute and a half. It's a crazy story.
Whoa.
I'll tell you more about it sometime. But after that moment, I was like, dude, wolves are really fascinating. So I went and I bought a book about wolves at Barnes & Noble. And I was reading. So like wolves are kind of like dogs in the sense that they have packs, right? They're like dogs are descended from wolves. And in a wolf pack, there's different jobs. Right? There's the alpha who kind of leads the pack.
Correct.
But there is I can't remember what the name of it is called, but there is a job in this pack of wolves that when two wolves are fighting in a pack, this one wolf will come and it has learned gestures and calls, like vocal sounds, that diffuse tension.
Whoa.
That kind of like make the wolves calm down. So it tries these things. It goes and does these things. It makes certain noises. And it kind of like creates peace between the two wolves.
Do you know how to make the peace conflict. Sound? Like
I don't. I don't. Because that would be pretty cool. Or like
a cool sound.
Yeah. But maybe. But no. Those are just jokes. But the wolves would. These groups. Their job is to diffuse tension in the pack.
That's
so they're
cool.
Kind of like jesters, right? They're kind of like jokers. You know how like when. Two friends are fighting. Have you guys ever had two friends fighting, mm-hmm. Robert, you?
Yeah.
And then you come up and make a joke or do something funny and everybody laughs.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, okay, what were we even fighting about?
You don't even remember.
Yeah, but isn't that crazy? Wolves have like peacemakers in their pack. Every pack has a couple of them. And so they go, and if two wolves are fighting in the pack, they create peace and calm. That's pretty crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's
That's
so cool. And so, guys— the lesson is learn about wolves. No, I'm just kidding. Guys, the lesson is peace is often about helping stop an argument before it can escalate into something worse. That's what Abigail did. This might mean getting the help of an adult who can calm down a situation. Sometimes an outside perspective is what someone needs to see a peaceful solution to an argument that they're having. And so, Robert.
Yes.
Let's brainstorm some ways that we could be peacemakers, you know, where we are.
Absolutely.
What ways do you like to make peace?
What ways do I like to make peace? I'd say, you know, one of the ways that I tend to is sometimes either using food. You kind of said this earlier with
the chocolate cake. Oh, yeah.
But sometimes even just a simple gesture of making food and coming together, saying, you know, I'm sorry, can bring peace to a situation many times. But I mean, that's probably a good one. Or just think about something that that person likes.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, you know, I want to make sure that they can have a smile still. And yeah. I know that person, let's say they like balloons. Well, Dan, let's get them a balloon.
Yeah.
Let's show them that you care. It goes back to the, we talked about it. You have to care even when it's not fair.
Yeah.
But that's one way to start to have peace. Think about things that the other person likes that you can bring to it. But yeah, what about for, you know, kids going in their lives at home and at school? Yeah. What are some ideas
I like to make people laugh.
You're good at that.
Oh, yes. Thank you, sir. Some would say that I'm the best on staff at it, but I don't know about all that. You know,
me neither.
You know, some would say it though.
Yeah.
Like some would.
Really?
I'm sure.
Oh,
if properly compensated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I remember I had a friend, Ryan, and he was dating this girl, and she broke up with him at school that day, and he was just devastated. And it was the last day of school.
Oh.
So he's like, oh man, he was so excited to, you know, he liked this girl for a long time, and he was crying at school. And I just went up, and we had like a pizza party in my class. I don't remember what grade we were in, but he had a pizza party in class, and I was just like, dude, I didn't know you wanted that last piece of pizza. I'm so sorry, man.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Like, and I was pretending that he was crying because I ate his pizza.
Oh.
And he just starts goofing. He just starts laughing because he was like, dude, I know that you know that I wasn't, that's not why I'm crying. But I was like, dude, seriously, you just have to tell me next time.
Yeah, tell.
Yeah, just tell me you want the pizza. I'm so sorry. I would not have eaten your pizza. And for whatever reason, it sounds stupid when I'm telling you this.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, he thought it was really funny. And so, you know, he started laughing and then he stopped crying. And then we went and, you know, did whatever we normally did at recess.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was one of those things that, you know, where I realized is like laughter is a great way to make peace. Generally, people feel better. Like scientifically, you feel better. That's kind of what these wolves do. And so the other way is just like, I like to, you know, I do this on Sunday with the kids. Whenever I feel like everybody's getting hyped up, I just like to take a walk. I'll be like, hey, let's take a walk around the room, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, why don't you come with me? Let's take a walk around the room. And we don't have to talk about anything. We don't have to talk about what we're feeling or anything. Let's just take a walk and get some, you know, some blood pumping. Right?
Yeah, it helps you get your steps in for the day.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Get, you know, all those kids worried about their steps.
Exactly.
You know, kids, get your 10,000 in, okay? And so those are things that I like to do, like, separating from the situation, getting our blood pumping a little bit, and then, you know, laughter. I think that those two things go a long way. So parents, kids, why don't you guys brainstorm some ways that you could be peacemakers at school, at home, or out in the world? And we'll see you on the other side. All right, we are back with week four.
Week four.
Jesus came to be our Savior, right? So
yes,
this
amen.
Is the week before Easter. Oof. Crazy.
A lot
man.
Of good Easter candy.
It's crazy.
This time.
Lots of good Easter candy. Now, Jesus was more than a good teacher and a miracle worker. Jesus is God's very own son, and God promised that Jesus would come and save us from consequences of our sin. And when he died and rose again, Jesus brought peace to the relationship between God and humans. And so we looked at the passage in Matthew 21, 1 through 11. We want to encourage you guys to go and read that. We're going to go on to our next week because this is a big month.
This is. It's exciting.
It's a five Sunday month.
Woo-hoo.
And so we've got one more thing, and it is Easter, and we're going to spend a little bit more time on Easter. So week five, we learned that Jesus is what, Robert?
Alive.
That's right. And so we looked at Luke 24, 1 through 12, and then 36 through 49. And so this is the story of Jesus dying on a cross, raising from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you accept Jesus and get to know him, you can start living the way that he lived. And a big part of that is being someone who works hard to have peace with people. So, Robert, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Have you seen anyone help make peace lately in a tricky situation?
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
I have.
What did they do?
I have some friends. You know, things always happen with friends, and you're spending all this time together. But like you said, tricky situations will come up and arise. But one of these people— one of them decided to go out to lunch and just say, like, they didn't want to just avoid not hanging out and not being friends.
Sure.
They said, let's come together. I'm going to buy you lunch.
Oh, nice.
So they did. And I got to talk to them a little bit about it. And the two words that are very hard for us to say are some big words for us to say, but it's "I'm sorry." And that happened in the conversation. And even just admitting that you're sorry even brings a step of peace into a situation. And I think it was very helpful, and they made up too. And what's interesting is, having a teaching background.
Yeah.
I used to teach and be with kids of all ages and at the YMCA, but we would spend time and talk about, like, you know, if someone accidentally broke a toy on accident of another person's, and tears maybe happen, and it can feel like there's no peace. Two simple words to always go back to and say, and just be, take the high road, be the bigger person, is to just say, "I'm sorry."
Yeah.
"I'm sorry" is a great way to bring peace into a tricky situation. But Dan, what about you? Have you seen anyone in your life lately around you or help make peace in a tricky situation lately?
Man, I've got a lot of friends that are really good at this. And so I'm trying to think exactly what I want to say, but I have some friends that, everybody has some hard stuff that they go through, and there's conflict, and there's friends that you were close with, and then you become unclose with them, and maybe nothing happens, like nobody ever addresses it. But, I have some friends that are really good at sitting down and being like, "Hey, this hurt my feelings."
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to let you know because it hurt my feelings, right, with other people. I started being a little angry at you. And that takes a lot of courage to say, right?
Yes.
It takes courage to say, "I'm sorry," when you've done something wrong. But it also takes courage to go to someone and say, "Hey, you hurt my feelings," right?
Yes.
Because we want to just be angry at them for hurting our feelings. And so I've had some friends that have had really hard situations, and they've gone to people that have hurt them, and they said, "Hey, you hurt my feelings. And I've been angry at you." And then they asked for forgiveness for being angry, even though they didn't do the thing that started the whole conflict anyway. And that's pretty cool, right?
That is.
That's behavior that like Jesus and God created us to experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's saying being filled with courage, also recognizing that, hey, I'm not perfect and I'm going to do some things wrong. And so I've got to own that part.
Yes.
And so, yeah, man, I've got some good friends that I learned from a lot. And
yeah,
so,
friends are cool. They can help you through a lot of things because they care about you.
Yeah. And, you know, it could have been easy for them to just ignore the situation and quietly be mad at that person.
Correct.
That would have been easier. And it would have been, more comfortable.
Sure.
Right? But that's not what they did. They decided to do the hard thing. And so, like we said on last week's or a couple weeks ago's episode, it's like being a peacemaker is hard work.
It is.
You know?
You have to actively keep trying and finding ways to get better.
And so, have you seen anyone who didn't make peace lately?
I have.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tricky, Dan. Yeah. But yeah, I have. Sometimes people will just avoid it and not talk to each other.
Sure.
So, and you don't know all the stuff going on, but they just avoid spending time.
Yeah. My nephew is really young. He's like not quite two.
Mm-hmm.
But, you're starting to see more personality come out of him, right?
Oh.
And it's pretty funny. It's funny in the sense that like we can't do anything about it yet, you know,
sure.
Like in the family because he's so young. And so one day he got really upset with my brother-in-law. And so he got so mad that he ran up to my niece, his sister, who was sitting watching TV in another room, and just smacked her in the face. Right? And so we're just like, "What? Dude, what are you doing that for?"
Why?
Tegan was pretty upset because she was like, why did you do that to me? And so it's kind of funny. We're laughing about it now. But it's one of those things where something happened to him and he was so upset that he went and did that to someone else, right?
Yeah.
And so God wants us to have peace because not only does he want us between the people in our lives, but like when we don't have peace with someone else, generally we take it out on someone else.
Yes.
Right? And so that's just a little goofy example of my nephew who's like, he's not even two yet, so he doesn't know, right? But that is something that, like, I think all of us people, like all humans struggle with, is like when someone hurts our feelings, generally whether we think we are doing it or not, like we tend to hurt other people's feelings
because
we're feeling upset. And so, guys, peace is really important. And because Jesus is alive, we have access to the God of the universe who created us and loves us, and he wants to help us have peace. And so, guys, I want you to pause the podcast. I want you to talk about anyone that you've seen help make peace lately in a tricky situation. What did they do? Or if you've seen people do the opposite and they've created more conflict because they were upset about a specific situation in their relationship. Go ahead and talk about that, and we'll see you on the other side. God wants us to work hard to have peace. This is going to mean giving up some things. It's going to force us to pay attention to situations. It's going to force us to work really hard, but we can act as a peacemaker and it will force us to live like Jesus. And that's a good thing. Now, Robert,
yes.
It's time to remember.
That's right.
All right, we have a verse for the month. Robert, what is it?
The verse is, if possible, live in peace with everyone. Do that as much as you can, Romans 12:18.
Beautiful. Guys, remember, peace is not just a good thing to do. It was what we were made to do. Now, let's talk about it.
This is a segue.
All right. This is a opportunity for you guys to talk about these questions in the car or wherever you're listening to this podcast. So, question number one, how can you know when it's time to let someone else help?
That is a great question. I think sometimes you can know that it's time to reach out to others for help is when you might be feeling upset or angry for a longer amount of time than normal.
Yeah.
Maybe you've lost sleep over it, or if it's gone like a week or just however long it is, things haven't resolved or gotten a lot better. If you're just feeling upset or mad or sad, it just stays there. Maybe that's a good time to ask someone for help. And or just if you don't know really what to do.
Yeah.
You have parents and loved ones in your life that want you to have the best relationships possible, that want you to bring peace and to help you. So it's always, you're not supposed to do it on your own. So it's important to know and ask people like, all right, maybe you have a close friend and you're like, what would you do in this situation? How can I be someone that has peace because I don't know what to do? But Dan, how can you know when it's time to let someone else help?
That's a great question that I wrote. I'm just kidding.
It's phenomenal.
I'm not patting myself on the back, literally, but figuratively.
There you go.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
Yeah.
So I think that when you're noticing that you're angry about something a little longer than you should be. The other thing is like when all of the ways that you're thinking about responding to that person are hurtful, it's like, oh, I should talk to somebody else, right? Like if somebody, hits me and my response would be to hit them back, right? Be like, oh, maybe I should talk to somebody else because I don't want to do something that I can't take back, right?
Yes.
And so that's hard to do in the moment. But those things, I think when you're angry about it or when you're upset about it a little long, like for a long time, and when you notice that your responses are also hurtful, I think that's when you should, talk to a parent or a teacher or a leader or a coach or a friend or an older brother or sister, assuming that they're not the ones you have conflict with.
Correct.
But that's when I think. Parents, kids, how can you know when it's time to let someone else help you make peace? All right, Robert, what can you do when it feels impossible to have peace with someone?
This one's tricky.
Yeah.
Another great question. Well written, if I do say so.
Yeah. Proper punctuation.
Proper punctuation and all of it. So what can you do when it feels impossible to have peace with someone? And this is oftentimes based on what the situation is.
Yeah.
But I think one thing you can do is still love them well from a distance.
Yeah.
It might not mean spending all the time with them that maybe you are used to spending, or just as you're trying to process it and to come up with a peaceful solution, you can still love them well and choose to use your words and your hands and your actions to do good things. and to still, you know, say hi, wave, and yeah. smile. But it doesn't mean that you have to be best friends, spending all the time, every single second together. When it might feel like you said the word there is impossible to have yeah. peace, you can still try and do it even from a little bit further away and surround yourself with people that still do bring yeah. peace. But Dan, when it's impossible, what can you do when it kind of yeah feels impossible to have man. Peace with someone?
So my first answer would be to pray about it.
Love you that know? Answer.
So I had a situation with a friend who really, really upset me. This was mm-hmm. a few years ago. And I was talking with a family member and they were like, hey, have you prayed about it? And I said, no, because I was angry and I was upset. So what I did was I spent 4 days. For four wow. days, I prayed three times a day. I prayed in the morning. I prayed about it in the afternoon mm-hmm. whenever I was in my car. And I prayed about it before I went to bed. And on the fourth day of praying, I was praying about it and I was really upset with this person. I was really angry. I didn't even want to like text them.
Yeah.
I texted them initially and then I was like, I'm not going to talk to them for a while because I'm angry at them and I didn't want to say something that was hurtful. And, you know, in my mind, I realized, oh my gosh, this person did something that was hurtful to me and I've been avoiding them instead of, you know, giving them a hug, buying them lunch and talking to them about it. And so I thought, how must that be making them feel? It almost like hit me like a wave, you know, when you're in the ocean and the water swells up and smacks you in the face, like unexpectedly. I just felt this experience of like, oh my gosh, this person is really hurting and I need to take them out to lunch and pay for their lunch and talk to them about what
yeah.
happened.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, after praying about it, I did not feel angry at them a single bit. And so my first response would be prayer. But also, I think what you said too is good, is like, you know, sometimes you need some space from people, yeah. you know? And that's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes maybe you don't play with them every day after school. You know, maybe you say, hey, I'm gonna stay home and spend some time with my family today.
Yeah.
And that's okay too, right? And so guys, sometimes space helps us have peace with others. So I want you to pause the podcast. What can you do when it feels impossible to have peace with someone? All right, final question.
Final question.
How does knowing Jesus is alive help inspire you to have peace with others?
Wow, that's great. There's a lot that can be answered
I know.
And unpacked in this one, but
we
I think—
We only have 30 seconds.
Oh, no, wow. Well, okay, speed round, lightning round. I think what's really cool is, you know, we've been talking about peace all month long. We've been using the Bible to see like, how can we have peace? The Bible talks about how when Jesus, in being alive, he was the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
He's the one that like always embodies it. And it's interesting because we read through stories after stories. And then we also see in Jesus's life, people didn't always treat him with peace.
Yeah.
Or they weren't always the most nice at times, but he always had a peaceful and a gentle spirit. We can look at stories in the Bible where he showed that and he wants us to have peace. He wants us to be people that can bring peace with others. So just looking at his life, looking at all the things that we've talked about this month and that he does and continues to do, he wants us to take steps in being like him in that.
Yeah.
And since he's just offering it to us and he wants to help us do it, I think we just have to keep looking at him, reading yeah. more in the Bible and learning about him and saying, wow, he brought peace to this situation. But Dan, how does knowing how Jesus lived help inspire you to have peace with others as well?
Man, so, you know, we just did the baptism class not too long ago
yeah.
for some of our elementary schoolers, some of you guys listening. And we talk about the whole story of the Bible, right? We try and fit the whole story of the Bible into a 30-minute class.
Yeah.
And so part of it is knowing that like God created us, he created the world and he loved it and his plan was to live with it. And then sin entered the world. And the problem of sin is that it separates us from God, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the opposite of what God wanted. And then the penalty of sin is death. It's the opposite of life. And so knowing that God didn't have to keep running after people, You didn't have to, after we failed and we did things our own way and we disobeyed and we choose our plan over his plan over and over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have done something else. He could have turned his back on us, but he chose to send Jesus. And not only did he choose to send Jesus, but he chose to send Jesus knowing that the only way to make peace with us was going to be really painful and really hard.
Yes.
And it wasn't going to be permanent for Jesus, but that it was going to be difficult and it was going to be hard and that we didn't do anything to deserve that. That's a gift, mm-hmm. right? And so knowing that God cares about us that much and that everything that Jesus had to do to so that we could have peace in our relationship with God, that's inspiring to me.
It is.
And so, you know, that's what we want kids to focus on at Easter. So parents, kids, we'll leave you with this. You guys talk, how does knowing Jesus lived help inspire you to have peace with others? And we will, see you next time.
See you next time.
In April. Ba-do-ba-do-da-ba-do-ba-do-da-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba-ba-do-ba